Views and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of the hosts and guests and do not express the views or opinions of any of their employers or affiliates.
Hi, I'm Ritika Rose. Welcome to Awaken Your Truth, where I bring conscious dialogues and stories that will help you free your mind, heal your life, and embody your power. I hope to shift your perspective and create deeper understanding of yourself and others. Everyone has a story. Everyone has a purpose. Every experience has a reason. This show is about engaging with the truth of who you are, discovering your personal power and stepping into your authentic self so you can have more compassion and empathy for yourself and everyone around you. It's time for us to dig deep and learn to see ourselves and others with clarity so that we can come together and create a brighter future for humanity. When we free our minds, we can heal our lives. And this is how we build a powerful, transformed world. Awaken Your Truth starts now. Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to Awaken Your Truth with me, Ritika Rose, as I bring you conscious dialogues that free your mind, heal your life, and embody your power. As always, I hope that my show helps to bring a new perspective and shift your perspective on topics that are often misunderstood. I hope that we continue to break the stigma and judgment around really important topics that are often misconceived and to bring more love, acceptance, and compassion to this world. Today, I have a special guest, Josh. Josh, and I'm sorry, please help me pronounce your last name properly. Josh.
It's Zischholz.
Zischholz. Thank you so much. And we are going to be talking about a very important topic on mental health. May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And the two shows that I have this month are going to be based around mental health. And Josh and I are both mental health practitioners. So I will be bringing on my colleagues this month to talk about this topic. And today, Josh and I are going to be talking about therapy in a modern world, where we're going to be sharing our perspective on breaking the stigma and misconceptions of therapy, the mental health challenges that we see today, how therapy treatment is changing and evolving to meet, you know, the new modern day client, right? And the new modern day therapy that we, and how we best support our clients in this ever evolving society that we're in. I'm going to give you a little bit of background on Josh. Josh, I love this. Josh is a humanistically oriented therapist with an approachable style that is centered around and this is so important. Thank you, Josh, which is centered around the importance of the relationship between the client and therapist. And this is something that we're going to be talking about in the show about how modern therapy is changing, right? The importance between the client and the therapist. In addition to treating depression, anxiety, and trauma, he also focuses on helping individuals working through their other life challenges, such as relationship, family stress, and professional fulfillment. Having become a psychotherapist after a professional career in the arts, Josh hopes to, going forward, specialize in working with the creative professionals and professional artists who often face challenges in that unique creative space that they're in. So thank you so much, Josh, for being here with me today. And I'm so looking forward to this conversation we're going to have today. Do you want to add a little bit more about yourself or anything else about yourself?
Well, I mean, first of all, you know, I just want to say thank you to you, Ritika, for having me as a guest on a show like this, because this is a really important conversation. And the more spaces that the normalization of therapy, what it is, talking about it, the more spaces where that can be done, I think the better for, you know, for the world, really.
Really, yeah.
In that regard. I would like to add, where you did say where I hope to work with creative professionals, I actually do. The bulk of my practice is performing artists and creative professionals.
Perfect.
And I would even say, even my clients who may not have a job that you would normally think of as a creative professional actually are quite creative. So I have some, whether I have a client who's an energy engineer or a software engineer, there is still a significant creative component. And oftentimes my clients who were in a more typical professional setting, but are using a creative skill in that setting, often had more creative aspirations in childhood, but whatever their reasons were in their life, they prioritized focusing in something that had more of a financial security and stability.
Totally get that. And thank you for that, Josh. And I apologize for saying hope. Yes. Good. I'm glad that the specialty is there. And I was thinking about it this morning, actually. And so again, when I was talking to Josh yesterday, I was saying, I love how we just like automatically piggyback off each other. Literally this morning, I was thinking about the work you do with creative artists. And I was like, you know, but really every profession has creativity in it, right? We're all in any profession that we're in, our creative juices are flowing in whatever position that we're in. So thank you for bringing that up too, because creativity is very vast in itself, right? Speaking of, I mean, let's sort of jump into like the topic at hand, speaking of therapy, right? And therapy in a modern world. And I think that's sort of a perfect segue into, you know, what we're talking about, because therapy in itself is becoming very creative, right? We as mental health practitioners are constantly being creative in how we're treating our clients and or our patients, right? Depending on what setting we're in. And I think the first segment we really wanted to tap in today, Josh, was, you know, we know that so the show is all about breaking the stigma, right? So it's not just breaking the stigma, audience, about mental health and what mental health is in itself, but breaking the stigma to therapy, right? Therapy in the modern world, that what Josh and I are bringing you today is that there is more acceptance of therapy today. People today now are realizing the importance of being in therapy and seeking out therapists and therapy in a way that aligns with them. And that's where the creativity comes in, right? Because there's so many different kinds of therapy today that are supporting people in their overall emotional well-being, right? And so let's talk a little bit about that, Josh, like some of the stigmas that you and I have both seen in regards to therapy and mental health, past, you know, and present, right? I'll let you jump into that a little bit and we'll have this conversation. Yeah.
I think, you know, a great place to start, if we're talking about therapy in the modern world, is, you know, who is therapy for in the modern world? And really the big change, I think, is that traditionally, therapy, at least in its, I guess we're entering our second century of it, but at least in its first century, in its inception, if you go back to, you know, Freud in Austria, you know, psychotherapy, psychoanalysis was only for people who really had some kind of clear mental health disturbance. It's always been a modality to treat mental health issues. However, today's client isn't necessarily just someone who fits criteria for a mental health diagnosis. Mm-hmm. I think today's client is really that therapy should be for everyone, right, for a variety of reasons. I think the stigma has always been there must be something wrong or deficient in order to go to therapy. Why would I go see a therapist? I could just deal with this myself. Whatever that stigma is, the real truth is that I think therapy in the modern world being for everyone is the idea that it's enriching, it's additive to our lives. You may have a personal trainer when you go to a gym, or some people work with dietitians or people who kind of coach us in different areas of our lives. Psychotherapy is a place to kind of come and have like life rehearsal. Right. To sort of talk about the things we're dealing with, what's going on in our lives. And it is both additive and then preventative of the types of physical and mental dysregulations that come from not talking about all the stress. Right.
I want to piggyback on that, if I may. And a bit, I think, you know, speaking of therapy in the modern world and how it's being more and more accepted worldwide, you know, I think it's really important to note too, different cultures, right? Culturally, therapy and mental health has not been accepted. And right, how you mentioned earlier, right? Like people will just say, you know, I'll just deal with it on my own. I think the other important thing to bring up is people just don't want to deal with it at all because they don't accept it and they don't understand it. And they think that there's something wrong with the person that to say that they have a mental health challenge or a mental health disorder, right? And as, and to your point, mental health is broad and vast today. Almost everything is therapeutic, right? Nutrition is becoming nutrition therapy. I mean, I'm an occupational therapist, right? As I talked about in my last show, occupational therapy focuses on mental and physical health, right? And I'm also a Reiki therapist. I'm also a meditation therapist. I'm certified in those modalities as well, right? Everything is becoming therapy because everything is therapeutic, right? It's like, it's what is aligning with the client. And it's not just so much more anymore about a mental health disturbance, right? Or a diagnosis. Mental health is our overall emotional well-being. And I think that is what therapy in the modern world is, right?
It's also because of the the modernity of the world and technology and, you know, social media, not to scapegoat these things, but to suggest that the amount of stimuli we have in our daily lives is so much more than really at any other point in history, that everyone's kind of looking for ways to reduce that level of stimulation to, so whether you say I'm trying to find my chill or inner peace or whatever your expression for, like, I just need that moment, whether you're using an adult coloring book, right, or, you know, I like to sometimes talk about how good a hypnotic state could be. Like, if I go to a grocery store, for some reason I go down the aisles and I look at everything, and sometimes I come out having made like really good realizations, because a hypnotic state where we just sort of relax, right, and become centered in a way is something that doesn't happen as much anymore.
I agree. I think that we're overstimulated by society in today's world. And I think it's really important as mental health practitioners, whichever way, whichever modality it is that we are using to support our clients, is helping our clients come back to that present moment, right? Like that hypnotic state that you were saying, or that meditative state. But really all of that is just being present and conscious to the moment that you're living in that moment, right? Instead of all the extra stimuli that's taking up our brain space, well, right? Is really reducing that to just focusing on what's right in front of you in that moment.
Well,
right?
I think another really good point, and it ties together a couple things that have a lot to do with the way I work, with the way that I think philosophically. If we are talking about taking some of the things that we're using therapeutically in a modern manner, actually are really quite ancient practices, right? So when you talk about being present in the moment, you know, so much of mindfulness and presence in the moment, absolutely, comes from Eastern thought, yes, and Eastern philosophy, from the Hindu and the Buddhist and the Zen Buddhist
tradition. Hindu, well, I'm born into an Indian family. Yes.
There you go. But you, as you know, very
I'm spiritual well, by nature, but yeah, I was born into a Hindu family.
Right. So, but so many of those, whether it's, you know, yoga or mantra or tantra or transpersonal breath work, you know, there was a reason in the 60s, a lot of people went to ashrams in India.
Oh, yeah.
Find their presence to the moment. So we're taking something really ancient, and we're taking all the things that still have meaning and value, and we're now implementing it within the other concepts of psychotherapy, yes, from maybe a Western psychotherapeutic development from Freud and Western Europe, and they get merged together. That is, you know, modernity in and of itself.
I love it. Thank you so much for bringing that also nicely together. And it is actually everything that you just said is everything that I do in my practice, right? Because I do really blend my medical knowledge as an occupational therapist and my background in psychology with my Eastern philosophies of Reiki and meditation into my practice, along with my coaching, which is all based on really, you know, the energy work and the energy centers of Eastern philosophy. And I love that. And if there's anything that you incorporate into your practice, please share with us that as well right now before we go into commercial break. And when we do come back from commercial break, we're going to sort of talk about some of the misconceptions about therapy, yeah, cures. And, you know, and I love the you're building a discomfort tolerance and building new neural pathways. And we'll talk about that in the next segment. But any last thoughts before we go to commercial break? Yeah.
Yeah. I'll leave you with a quote, which is something that I, you know, all of my clients, if any of them ever hear this, they're all going to find out that they've all heard a few of the same things from me. And one of them is a quote that really takes the application of what we were just talking about, ancient concept into modernity, but also becomes a real therapeutic guiding point as we talk about the importance of being present to the moment, particularly in our world filled with stimuli. And the quote is a quote attributed to George Harrison, the great Beatle, who we all know that sometimes people talk of as the spiritual Beatle. And he, and as a solo musician, really incorporated Eastern thought and mindfulness into his music. And he has this quote where he said, and it's not from a song, it's something he had said in a different context. And the quote is, "It's being here now that's important. There's no past and there's no future. Time is a very misleading thing. All there is ever is the now. We can gain experience from the past, but we can't relive it. And we can hope for the future, but we don't know if there is one."
Beautiful. So perfect.
Yeah.
And I couldn't agree more.
And that encapsulates a large portion of the work I do, or at least the component of how do you become present-minded in terms of finding meaning, purpose, validity, and what I like to refer to as unconditional positive self-regard in the moment. However the moment changes, all of that internal work, moment to moment to moment.
Love it. Thank you so much, Josh. We'll be right back after this commercial break. For more information on how you can work with Josh or Ritika, myself, please look at our website links located in the description of these shows, and we'll be right back. Thank you so much.
Are you feeling lost in this journey we call life? When you awaken the truth of your patterns, limitations, and beliefs, you can start to heal relationship with yourself, others, and your circumstances. I'm Ritika Rose, life coach, author, and speaker. My mission is to help you align with your most powerful, authentic self and transform how you experience your inner and outer world. Find the confidence and peace to live the highest version of your life. Visit RitikaRose.com.
Tagged Your It takes you on a journey of 8 life mastery skills that will help you step into your power and become the leader of your own life. Inspiring, real, insightful, and therapeutic, the pages help you discover deeper awareness, understanding, and relationship with yourself and others. Give yourself permission to live life through your authentic self. These steps can be used in your personal, professional, and social life. Order your copy now on Amazon.
Welcome back to Awaken Your Truth with me, Ritika Rose, and my special guest, Josh Kisholz. Am I pronouncing it right? I'm so sorry.
I'll say it again. It's a tough one, and most people get it wrong. Is Zischholz.
Zischholz. I apologize. Yeah, Josh Zischholz.
It's a long, complicated name that probably isn't even spelled the way it would have been spelled where my family came from.
And, you know, part of therapy work is that we're going to talk about now, the misconception that therapy cures any mental health challenges. But part of the therapy work that I think that all therapists do is helping our clients to take accountability and responsibility. And I'm going to take accountability and responsibility for not getting Josh's last name correct. I apologize for that.
I am not hung up on it. It's been with me my whole life, and almost no one can say it. So
we will get it. Thank you so much, Josh. So let's talk about that. The misconception. So this is a really important part of therapy too, that there's this misconception that when people go to therapy, that there's going to be a cure, you know, for the diagnosis that they have, or for the condition that they have, or for what they're facing or dealing with in that moment, where really therapists are here to help support the self-regulation of the emotions one is feeling, right? To give the tools and the ideas that our clients and our patients can incorporate into their lives to start coming back into that present moment, to start finding that peace within themselves again, to start living a life on purpose, right? And for me, at least, in their truth and in their authenticity, knowing that they have a condition that they're dealing with, and really just how do they go on with life working within that condition, but still finding the peace within themselves, knowing that it's okay to just be them, right? And implementing the tools that we give them to help ease and aid those conditions and challenges that they're facing. Right, Josh, would you agree with that? And anything more you want to add to that?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think you make a lot of great points here. And I do certainly think that one of the biggest misconceptions is that therapy is going to either fix or cure everything. And one of the ways that I really like to think about it and talk about it is the point actually of therapy is to help someone learn to reduce the regularity and the severity of the behavioral dysregulation that comes from whatever they're working with emotionally or neurologically or chemically in the brain or in terms of something diagnostically. Again, a psychotherapist is kind of first and foremost helping someone learn to manage it. Sometimes it means medication. Sometimes it means psychotherapy. For some people, it means both. Generally, if there's medication, there's psychotherapy. And right, if there's psychotherapy, right, there isn't always medication. But again, you know, we are not going to cure pain. We're not going to cure grief. We're not going to cure sadness. We're not going to cure anxiety. Anxiety serves us positively at times, right? And negatively at times. We're not going to cure the way our nervous system works. There will never be a no cortisol ever moment because it protects us in ways. The issue is when everything becomes overactive and stops protecting us and becomes maladaptive. So again, the idea isn't that it's curative, it's that it helps increase a person's baseline of mood and functioning through a more regular period of time. And if there is any dysregulation, it becomes a shorter, less severe issue because the person now has some competency with knowing how to manage when it does happen.
Right. So as you're speaking, I'm just thinking that I think this might be important too, is what suggestions can we give the audience today, right, that are not in therapy, right, or have maybe thought about it? What tips can we give them, or what cues can we give them to say, okay, maybe this is time to start thinking about therapy, yeah, right? That now that we're helping to break the stigma around what therapy is, right? If someone is experiencing this, potentially seek out someone that can support you with that, right? Because there's, and I always say this to people too, right? And so for the audience too, I've always told my clients as well, like, you know, Josh and I both do free consultations, right? So I think that those consultations with therapists that you're, or coaches that you're looking to work with, are really important, right? You want to know what the therapist or coach is bringing to you and how they can support you. We all have different specialties and different backgrounds that have led us to do the work that we do, right? Because we are humans too, and we have our own experiences, and there are reasons why we do the work that we do, right? So really having these free consultations with a therapist of your choice and making sure that you align with the person that you're working with, right, to help you overcome what it is that you feel like you're challenged with, right?
Just to sort of piggyback on that, Ritika, yeah, if I may, the point you make, not just of the value of the free consultation, just to sort of get a chance to speak to the person and see how they might practice. Really, when we look at all the modalities of treatment, whether it's CBT or psychoanalysis or yoga or occupational therapy or all the other things that practitioners bring to their practice, at the end of the day, when they do the meta-analyses, the number one thing that comes back is,
I know what you're going to say,
right? What made the therapy work? It's the relationship between Absolutely. The client and the therapist. So really, you should not only consult with someone, you should probably consult with 3 to 4 to 5 people and see who you feel most comfortable with and who feels like a match. What really makes psychotherapy dynamic is when you say, gee, this feels like a person I could have a real relationship with in any context. What prevents it from going to other contexts, right, is just the very simple boundary of what therapy is and that the relationship exists within the space of therapy only and not outside. But it should still be someone you feel like you can have a relationship with. The person who cuts my hair, not that I've had a haircut in the past 2 years, it's gotten quite long in the pandemic.
You tied it back very nicely, Josh.
It's much shorter. The person who cuts my hair, it's been the same person for over a decade. If I find someone, an accountant, who's a great person and competent, I don't mean great person and not competent, but if you find the combination of someone you get along with and also has competency, it's a relationship, and more good work always comes out of a good relationship. Two people who get along will write a better song than two people who don't like each other at all, right? Mm-hmm. Or if you have a lawyer and can, whatever that service is, you know, I look for doctors. I want a general doctor who is someone I'm going to have a relationship with. This is so important to making psychotherapy work. So right. To sort of add, not just consult with one, find your person.
Find your person. And I think to add to the relationship is trust.
Absolutely. But that doesn't really happen right away. And trust is sort of the component, as we know, in any relationship that builds over a period of time, which is partially why psychotherapy doesn't have a huge return in 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months. What I usually say is at 6 months, you might be say yourself, something I understand differently. And then at a year, you might say, well, this little piece feels different and I'm not really sure what happened. But really, it's the trust, the relationship, the time, the therapist really seeing you and knowing you over a period of time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, something that, let's talk about this in the next few minutes that we have, right? Now we are talking about that, you know, mental health practitioners will not cure any mental health challenges. But one thing that you brought up to me when we first spoke is the building of new neural pathways through therapy, right? So I want you to touch on that a little bit.
Yeah, well, we know at this point scientifically that the brain is plastic, essentially. We thought brains were stagnant. They're not. Well, actually, it's a little bit more odd than that. Brains are rigid and stagnant, but they have the ability to change if we challenge ourselves to do that change. So at once we reach, you know, the brain reaches full adulthood around 24, it sort of starts to become a predicting machine, right? A lot of anxiety, or what we sometimes call catastrophization, is your brain predicting all the bad things that might happen. Except there's also a lot of good things that might happen that it could predict, and it doesn't. The more painful learning experiences you have in life, the more you already have the neural pathways built to develop to deal with those challenges. You're sort of used to those challenges, and new challenges seem a little intimidating because you don't have the neural pathways built. Sometimes you have to challenge yourself by doing something that might feel uncomfortable or unnatural to you because you intellectually understand the value. And so part of what therapy does, and I know we're going to talk about this in another segment, is building neural pathways is really discomfort tolerance. And part of what psychotherapy really does is it is building of a neural pathway to tolerate discomfort. If you can come once a week and talk about what hurts you the most, the things about yourself you like the least, the ways in which you're the least satisfied, it doesn't make it more true or last longer. It actually creates change. By sitting there and talking about it repeatedly, repetitively, once a week for 45 minutes, you start to become more comfortable with talking about your challenges. The more comfortable you are talking about it, the more comfortable you might become making small baby step changes. Over time, that builds up exponentially. The more discomfort tolerance, the easier it is to have a conversation with your partner, maybe, where you know you have different opposing viewpoints, but your ability to have that conversation prevents you from doing it in a way where you're triggering each other's angers or frustrations because you're accepting, hey, this is not going to be comfortable or easy, but it's important and we can get through it. That creates deeper intimacy and more trust. So discomfort tolerance is building of new neural pathways. And the more we build neural pathways that are new, the more we can challenge ourselves or have an evidence base to look back and say, oh, I changed this. I built new neural pathways. I guess this other challenge that seems insurmountable is maybe more surmountable than I thought based upon something else I did that I once thought was insurmountable.
Right. Love that. Thank you so much. What's what's coming up for me, you know, in occupational therapy, we do something called brain fitness, right? When we're seeing patients with having a cognitive decline of some sort for various different reasons, right? But sort of similar concept. When we're having a decline in an area or something has been forgotten or really not instilled in our life, these coming in and repeatedly doing something new to help your brain learn something new or to reinstill it, right? That positive thinking, the acceptance of what is, right? We're building those newer pathways to now have more acceptance and tolerance to what we're facing and challenging, and then building a new thought pattern around it.
Yeah.
Right.
There's a really good saying that another quote I like,
which is great as we go into commercial break. Love it.
Another quote I love. It's attributed to Mr. Rogers, not in the context of his show, but in the context of other of the social work stuff that he did. I learned this from a professor in graduate school who taught a course on grief, loss, and bereavement. And what he said is Fred Rogers had a quote, and the quote is, anything that's human is mentionable. Anything that's mentionable is manageable. And that's a great starting point for clients around two things. I'll break it down. One, I always let my clients know there is nothing wrong with you. As a matter of fact, you make quite a lot of sense. And what I mean by that is we are all the logical conclusion of the sum of our personal total experiences.
Absolutely.
You have adapted the way the human brain and mind and soul have been created to adapt because it protected you in childhood. It protected you in late adolescence, early adulthood. But what is the way in which, like the flip side of a coin, the part that was protecting you also created a part that's doing the opposite and hurting you? If you can talk about it, whatever it is, you can manage it. And you should be able to talk about it because anything that happens to a human being in life is human. It's acceptable. There is no evil, wrong,
right,
bad, disgusting, degenerate. We are complicated animals that function on so many different levels that science still hasn't gotten to explain away yet. So it's all human, which means it's all mentionable, which then means it's manageable. And through the discomfort tolerance of managing what you used to not want to mention, you will build new neural pathways to grow and actualize.
Thank you. And as we move into the commercial break, one thing that I just would like to leave the audience with, one of the quotes for the show is, everyone has a story, everyone has a purpose, and every experience has its reason. That is the whole purpose of Awaken Your Truth with Ritika Rose, right? And I think that's a beautiful way to end the segment as we go into the next segment, is knowing, and exactly, Josh, and I say the same thing to our clients, there is absolutely nothing wrong with you. And then the audience that has watched the show over and over again, I repeatedly say that as well. There's absolutely nothing wrong with you. We just have our own personal experiences that are leading us to how we're experiencing life right now, right? And so let's, as an audience who's listening, break the stigma to anyone that you know is facing an emotional challenge or mental health diagnosis or any sort of crisis. And let's remember that everyone is going through their own journey. Life is a journey, right? Everyone's going through their own journey and everyone is having their own experience. So how can we show more empathy and compassion to those people in our lives or that we come across and help them to understand that everything is okay. And if they do need to get therapy, if they do need to seek any sort of support, that there's plenty of practitioners out there that are here to help and support. Again, if you'd like to find out more information about Josh or I, please look at our website links in the description of the show. And thank you so much for listening. And we'll be right back.
Are you feeling lost in this journey we call life? When you awaken the truth of your patterns, limitations, and beliefs, you can start to heal relationship with yourself, others, and your circumstances. I'm Ritika Rose, life coach, author, and speaker. My mission is to help you align with your most powerful, authentic self and transform how you experience your inner and outer world. Find the confidence and peace to live the highest version of your life. Visit RitikaRose.com.
Nag Your It takes you on a journey of 8 life mastery skills that will help you step into your power and become the leader of your own life. Inspiring, real, insightful, and therapeutic, the pages help you discover deeper awareness, understanding, and relationship with yourself and others. Give yourself permission to live life through your authentic self. These steps can be used in your personal, professional, and social life. Order your copy now on Amazon.
Welcome back to Awaken Your Truth with me, Ritika Rose. And we are discussing a therapy in the modern world for Mental Health Awareness Month. And we have discussed some really important topics so far in the first two segments. And we're really here to break the stigma around therapy today and really helping the audience to understand that therapy is becoming the new norm. And there's so many vast different modalities today that are supporting people with various mental health challenges. And in this segment, we really want to talk about, Josh and I are going to talk about, you know, the current or newly evolving mental health challenges that we're seeing today, because mental health challenges are growing and changing as society is evolving. And there's so much more that we're seeing. It's not just these, you know, crisis type mental health diagnoses like bipolar, schizophrenia, a major depression, ADHD. These are, the older commonly known mental health challenges. Today, it's a lot more than that. It's really about our overall emotional well-being, right? Josh, and I think that the emotional well-being of people are being challenged today in all age groups, from children, teenagers, adults, older adults. And I think that, you know, there's definitely increased anxiety in society today for multiple different reasons, which we'll get into. There's definitely increased loneliness in today's society for multiple different reasons. There's a lot more competition that we're seeing, I think, in our clientele. It doesn't matter what age group you're in. I think competition is at skyrocketing today. There's a lot of financial pressures that are evolving today in all different areas of our country and in the world. And I think that, you know, these are just a few that I can see that I've been working with my clientele that are arising today that are creating the different, you know, emotional, I don't want to use really disturbances, but challenges or emotional areas that people are facing today because they don't know how to get through it, right? Pressures are just, the pressure and the stimuli is really just mounting itself, and people are just coming to a point where I don't know how to manage this on my own. I need some support and help, right?
I mean, I think we're at a really, you know, unique point in history where a couple things are happening. I mean, without a doubt, there is a mental health crisis in this country, at the very least. I'm sure globally, there's mental health issues everywhere. Something about American society today is particularly disruptive to people's mental health. And there's a combination of things, right? We talked about the excessive stimuli in our social ecosystem, right? The inundation, whether of what people see on social media or, constantly getting dings on your phone all day long about things that are potentially very upsetting. You know, I personally had several clients this week who got the ding about the leaked Justice Alito decision. And it was very upsetting because people are having their rights taken away, and it's being in real time. It's one notice after another, after another. But also, not just the way that the modern world is adding that stimuli, we're the most divided. Obama spoke about a few years ago about being careful of the Balkanization of our country. And he's right, we've been all put into different teams. They just basically, at some point, we stopped trying to be one team in this country, even if everyone had their differences and it was an imperfect society. Now, there are so many different teams that everyone is being divided. So in our ecosystem, there's so many more enemies in your daily life than people used to see. There's so much incivility that people see, and the incivility is coming from an instability of our society and, you know, how runaway extreme capitalism has increased this, right? The more we see CEO profits increase and the average worker go down, the less, the more the middle class has disintegrated. Again, everyone seems to have this feeling like they're fighting for theirs. And it's this hyper-individualism of our society that says not only are you on your own, but you have to do it on your own. And there is no balance between what's good about individualism and what's good about community-based societies. At some point, there has to be a blending of the two. And so I think the lack of that, the extreme version of this, is raising everybody's anxiety, their overall defensiveness from the moment they step out the door, that they have to be hyper-vigilant against every threat in their daily life to their existence, you know, a variety of socioeconomic, racial contexts. And so it's happening to children, it's happening to adults, it's happening to the elderly who are now having issues with their health and economic instability to actually address it. So really at every level, we're just the sickest we've ever been, the most stressed we've ever been. You know, infant mortality rates in America are an abomination. We have no child health care system. Everyone is just trying so rigidly to manage some sort of dysphoric state that exists for everyone because our whole society is so dystopic at the moment.
Right. Right. And, you know, it's interesting to see how, you know, it affects the whole family unit.
Absolutely.
You know, because at least for me, like what some examples I can share, you know, when I'm looking at clients that I'm working with now, I may be working with the mom or the dad, right? But they're coming to me with their own pressures that they're facing just for themselves. But it also here's another thing I think that's really important, right? Everything trickles down.
Sure.
Right? So another thing that's really important to, I think, as mental health practitioners and for the audience to understand, for anyone that's feeling a challenge, right? And why it's also so important to maybe seek out support, right? Because how you're showing up in the world, right? In your families, in your professional space, how you're like leadership always starts with you, right? So it's really taking a look at how are you showing up? Are you aware of what's triggering you? What's challenging you? Do you have the systems in place or the tools in place to support you in helping to regulate the challenges that you're facing, right? To help you find your peace, to help you find ways to help you cope, right, with what you're dealing with? Because if you don't, everyone that's involved or is surrounded in your daily life can be feeding off of the energy that you are bringing to them, right? And I'm not saying that in any kind of negative way. I say this with love and truth, right? But it's just being aware of who you are and what's happening in your world and in your space, right?
Well, I think sort of what you're talking about is the importance for all people to try and learn to have some mindfulness of themselves and conscientiousness of others in all circumstances. Years ago when I was in college, I remember working at maybe the first waiter job I had. I've worked in a lot of restaurants in my life, but that's something else. But the first waiter job I worked at was across from Mass General Hospital in Boston in the 90s. And I remember the general manager saying to us, I want you all to remember that there are a lot of people coming to eat here with very sick family members, and you should be conscientious of who they are and where they're coming from when they sit down to eat. These aren't necessarily at lunchtime people coming to celebrate and feel good, and you should be conscientious of their mood. And it was such an incredible concept to me. We need to be conscientious of where people are coming from in their lives on a daily basis for ourselves and for them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think when we come back from the commercial break, Josh and I both really align with this topic is, you know, what is it about the therapeutic process that actually helps people to heal? Now, we're not curing anything, right? But to help the healing process, right? And that is absolutely what therapy in the modern world is today, because there's such a shift in what therapy is. And so when we come back from commercial break, we're going to talk about the different types of therapy modalities and processes that can support the healing process in the modern world today, right? So we'll be right back. Thank you for listening, everybody.
Are you feeling lost in this journey we call life? When you awaken the truth of your patterns, limitations, and beliefs, you can start to heal relationship with yourself, others, and your circumstances. I'm Ritika Rose, life coach, author, and speaker. My mission is to help you align with your most powerful, authentic self and transform how you experience your inner and outer world. Find the confidence and peace to live the highest version of your life. Visit RitikaRose.com. Tagged Your It takes you on a journey of 8 life mastery skills that will help you step into your power and become the leader of your own life. Inspiring, real, insightful, and therapeutic, the pages help you discover deeper awareness, understanding, and relationship with yourself and others. Give yourself permission to live life through your authentic self. These steps can be used in your personal, professional, and social life. Order your copy now on Amazon.
Welcome back to Awaken Your Truth with me, Ritika Rose, where I bring you conscious dialogues that free your mind, heal your life, and embody your power. Thank you so much for listening to the show today, Therapy in the Modern World, where we're highlighting Mental Health Awareness Month. In our last segment, Josh and I are going to talk about therapy today, right? And what really helps support our clientele, right? Therapy today, and Josh and I have both experienced this, right? Almost every single client that we have worked with, we ask this question and they've said back to us, you know, what has worked and not worked in your therapy before? Or at least for myself, Josh, I'm sure you do this. I ask my clients, have you had therapy in the past? Always. And has it worked for you? Why are you seeking somebody different to work with now? It's always a question that I ask, right? And I know that you and I have both experienced this, that they say, well, the therapy hasn't worked for me because I've gone into the therapist's office and I just sit there and talk for 45 minutes and I leave. The therapist hasn't given me anything to take away to help me work through what I'm dealing with. I've just talked, but I don't have the tools that I need to help me work through what I'm feeling, right? And I think that that's really important. I think that Josh and I both really align and agree on this, is that our relationships with our clients is the most important thing, and how we show up with them and how we're working with them. So Josh was sharing some really great info in commercial break, and I said, wait, hold, let's bring that into the segment, because that it's so important. And I agree with everything that he's saying 100%. And part of that, and I'm going to let Josh just, you know, roll with it. But part of that is, you know, therapy in some therapists still, you know, work this way, but therapy in the older way is just, and I was taught this in my occupational and psychology, you know, programs. But when I went through my coaching programs, it was very different, right? It is about building that relationship. But what we were taught back in the day is you don't share anything personal. You leave everything about your personal life aside from your clients or your patients, right? And I think that we're seeing that therapy in the modern world today is moving away from that. And we are sharing a little bit more with our clientele to help them feel more comfortable in the process, to help them know that we're also humans. We've gone through it. We've healed through it. And this is how we can support you. Because if we haven't experienced it ourselves or healed through it ourselves, how are we able to support you? And I think that that's what our clients and our patients are starting to feel a little bit more aligned now in the therapy process and trusting us more and trusting the therapy process more, right? Josh, would you agree?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I think what you're talking about is the importance of authenticity as a being in the room. And the way traditional psychoanalysis was, or just psychotherapy was thought of, where you come in, you sit down and you talk, and a therapist says, and asks a couple questions, you know, people feel like they're being analyzed. I actually think the point is for therapists to teach their clients the critical skills of self-analysis. It's not me analyzing my client. It's me reframing back to my clients what they tell me about their lives in a therapeutic framework.
Right?
You're telling me this is going on in your life. I wonder if these things have happened to you in your life. And maybe when that happened, it lives in your unconscious. What do you think about that? Again, I think our goal isn't to make people do something all themselves that they might not have the skills for. Our job is to teach them the skills.
Right.
Do it. You know, we were talking in the last segment of healing as opposed to curing. It's really self-healing. We as therapists cannot heal our clients. We can help them learn to heal themselves.
Correct.
Right. To build the new neural pathways by reframing back to them, explaining to them what the therapeutic or psychological concepts are. For so many years, I felt like a lot of therapists, they would ask questions without explaining what the research suggests. Right. Why are we holding on to the information and not disseminating better psychoeducation, which we are now, and that's been taught more.
Right.
But it starts with the authenticity of the individual in the relationship, right? If you go to a therapist who's wearing a suit, you might not feel comfortable. There might feel like a power dynamic. You shouldn't feel like you're going to an attorney or an accountant or speaking to an FBI agent, right? Like, yeah. I think therapists need to dress more like their clients, right? I think the idea should be creating a space of comfort, hospitality, right? Having worked in restaurants for years, I bring my feelings about hospitality when a client, whether they come into my physical office space or my Zoom office space, there needs to be a component of warmth and hospitality and an appreciation of who your client is. If they ask me how I am or how my weekend was, why is that going to disrupt
right.
the therapy? And so part of that modern delivery system, you know, as we're talking about, is the authenticity of the therapist who is trying to build a real relationship, which takes some self-revealing. It doesn't mean you tell your clients everything,
right?
But it means you reveal enough of yourself. And sometimes it even means revealing aspects of yourself that have been flawed in the past or have felt a similar feeling. You're not taking away from a client. You're joining in around some universality of experience. While they might be experiencing it differently because they're different people,
right.
you know, certain events have a universality too.
And I think what's really important is when a client or patient knows that we have experienced something similar to them and we can identify that with them, it shows that it helps them to understand that we actually really do understand what they're going through, right? And that's why we're here to support them, at least for me in my programs. Were you going to say something, Josh?
Well, no, I think you're right, but I think this is a really interesting thing that we bring up, right? If representation is important in everything. There are people who will choose therapists because of certain types of representation. You may get clients who have come from Indian backgrounds because they know they're not going to have to explain certain cultural things to you. Look, you look at my picture, you're going to pretty much guess I'm a New York Jew, and I wouldn't even be offended that you were stereotyping me. I know what I look like, right? So there may be clients who are like, I want, you know, a male, straight, Jewish therapist,
because
they don't have to explain. But I'll push it even further. As someone who was a performing artist my whole life, I have a bachelor's of fine arts in the theater. I was an actor up until I went back to graduate school in my early 30s. One of the reasons why I've been successful in working with other performing artists is because they don't have to explain to me what it means to study acting, what it means to study an art form and be self-critical.
Right.
They don't have to explain to me how their talent and capabilities don't measure up to their financial checkbook. I've lived that. I understand it. So if people are already self-determining to choose therapists that have some similar life experience, informed empathy, so to speak, so they don't have to over-explain, then why are we also saying, but then don't let them know anything about you? Like, they're right. already looking for someone that they feel a certain level of, this person gets me. They can they can really put themselves in my shoes. Yes, they're different, but yes, they've had certain experiences that might be helpful if we share it in a constructive manner.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's therapists and there's coaches. And at least for me on my, I can speak to coaches and many coaches that I know, you know, as a coach, I have programs that I work through with my clientele, right? But these programs are tried and true steps that I actually experienced and incorporated into my life that helped me to heal, right? And like you said, self-heal. Now, I worked with many people before, you know, many of my own coaches before I actually came into the healing and wellness and coaching world myself, right? But to your point, if I didn't have those people to help support me through the through three major life challenges I was dealing with at the same time, to really help them support me and give me the tips and the tools that I needed to get through my daily life, right? And really incorporate them. Now they're not there by my side all the time. I have to implement that myself, right? But then I took everything that I learned in those years of healing myself and put them into a program, right? And so I do share that with my clientele when I take them through my programs and take them through my coaching courses. And even when I do my healing services with meditation XYZ, I share how I came to meditation. I share how I came to Reiki and why I practice it, right? I share why I take people through this program. So I think what's important in the last couple of minutes we have here for therapists and those looking for therapy and therapists to work with, right? One, I think it's really important for therapists today to share their why, right? Why are you doing what you do? And why are you working with the certain clientele that you choose to work with, right? Because I think that our background and our stories are important. And that's going to help that clientele come and seek you out, right? And feel more comfortable in working with you. And where you can really make a difference in those people's lives, right? Because that's what we're here to do, right? And for those seeking out the therapists and therapy, right? It's like what Josh and I said in the segment before this. Do your consultation calls. Do three or four of them. You know, really talk to the individual that you want to work with and see if you align with them. Is this a person that's really going to help you with what you're facing with? Do they understand what you're dealing with? Do they have the programs or the background in therapy to help you move through what you're moving through? And please know that there is no stigma to getting help. There is no stigma to what you're dealing with. There is no stigma to having therapy, because therapy has evolved so much as of 2022. And there's so many different ways of receiving the emotional support that you need in order to move you into your positive and peaceful well-being and really sort of move into the purpose that you have for this life and get you through the journey, right? Josh, any last thoughts?
I would like to add, if people who are listening are looking for a therapist or this interested in them, they've been thinking about it, but maybe they feel less stigmatized and they're looking, I think the other big question or the hurdle here is, how do I find this person? How do I find the right therapist for me? If I can give a brief shout out to mywellbeing.com, which is one of the most incredible services. 90% of my referrals come through mywellbeing.
Which, by the way, Josh and I are both listed on. Yes.
MyWellbeing, clients for no fee, go on the website, fill out everything about themselves that they're looking for, what they think might be the style for them. And then they get matches. They get paired with several therapists who they can then explore the fit with. And I just believe that mywellbeing.com really is one of the finest tools for people to find the right therapist for them. So if people are looking and don't know where to start, mywellbeing.com is a really great starting point.
Awesome. Thank you, Josh, for that. And that's just one of the many, many resources out there that people can start to look for a therapist or well-being practitioner of their choice. So thank you so much, everybody, for listening today. And we hope that Josh and I have given you some powerful and insightful information to break the stigma around mental health, to break the stigma around therapy. And we implore each of you to go receive the support that you need if you are facing any challenges. And again, know that nothing's wrong with you. You're just having an experience and we're all here. Josh and I, again, look up our websites. We're here to support you as you need to, or please research on your own many resources that are out there to find yourself a mental health practitioner or well-being practitioner of your choice. Thank you so much for listening to your overall health, peace, and well-being. Thank you so much. Until next time. Thank you for listening to Awaken Your Truth with me, Ritika Rose. I hope that you heard something today that sparked a shift in your perspective to free your mind, heal your life, and embody your power. The world needs love, acceptance, togetherness, and belonging. My hope is to be a contributing force towards the new world we need to create together.
If each of us can awaken our truth and live with more empathy and authenticity, that shift will radiate. Spread the word and tune in next time for more conscious dialogues of healing and transformation on Transformation Talk Radio and Awaken Your Truth with Ritika Rose on YouTube and across all podcast stations. For more information about how to work with me, please visit RitikaRose.com.